SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
College football, full circle.
On the right, fake to Armstrong, run, hook, five, book it to the end zone, touchdown, Ian Book!
Launches down the middle for McCleskey, and it's a three, touchdown, they take the lead with 3 seconds.
Patterson to the end zone, drives his way in, Virginia Tech has won it.
Here we go, college football full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 204. Joined as always by my man, the encyclopedia of college football. That is, go for the two, Joe Lisi. Joe, how are you, my man?
Carver, can you smell it? It's August. Ben. Football yes. is back, baby. Let's strap it up and get it on. Let's just kick off because I am amped up for the 2021 season. This is what it's all about. In about 4 weeks from today, we're going to be talking lines, who screwed us, divisional games, interconference games. Let's just get it underway because I'm chomping at the bit. A lot of news to get to. I understand that we're going to be breaking down conferences as well, but it doesn't get better than this, baby.
No, this is it. We've hit August, Joe, and now is the time. There are college football games in the calendar this month. I mean, it's like you said, Joe. I mean, you could smell it. We're almost there. Today, we will start looking at win totals. We're going to go through each conference each week as we head towards kickoff, Joe. We're going to start with the ACC this week. We will touch on Clemson, Vatek, and BC, their win totals. We've got week 3 and 4 look-ahead lines that we have to do. Of course, we'll close the show, as always, with our week 1 line of the day. But we'll start with today's headlines, Joe. And this is a pretty big one, and I'm kind of flabbergasted by this. Ohio State 5-star commit Quinn Ewers is going to skip his high school senior season, Joe, and enroll at the Ohio State University, where you know one of the most heralded prospects in college football at the quarterback position in a long time, Joe. And I'm of course, you know what's driving this, NIL. Because he's right. going to be able to now go to Ohio State, even though he's not going to play this year, and he's going to be able to cash in on some NIL deals. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the whole, like, I'm just not going to go to high school for my senior year. Right. That's kind of still boggling my mind right now, Joe. But talk about the impact of this kid doing this, and he's just going to be the first of many, Joe. You know that.
It is. It's just the tip of the iceberg, Carver. And I brought it up over the weekend when we talked about football full circle. I said, what is really the upside? It's not like Quinn Ewers in terms of the money's not going to be there next year. It's really only a downside for him, in my opinion. You know, the fact that he can play with kids his own age and lead his team to a state title, it's another year of development. It's another year of maturity in terms of his frame. Let's keep in mind, we're talking about an 18-year-old individual, a young guy, right? I don't care how much he's in the weight room, right? I don't care how many times he goes to the 7-on-7 drills for quarterback camps. He is now going to be hit by 22, 23-pound, right, and year-old men in terms of that frame. What's the upside just to get an NIL deal that we know he's going to be the top quarterback in a year from now? So, and his family has already said, Carver, they don't need the money. So what really is driving this? Yeah. Just to really set the legacy, I'm the first player to do that? There's more downside than there is upside in terms of this.
Joe, look, this is the start of something that's really going to be weird for me. Like, I would never tell anybody not to take money that they think that they're owed or they think that they can make. Whether you're 18 years old, 80 years old, whatever it is, Joe. If this kid is going to get, you know, 500 grand to run around on TikTok selling some kind of product, well, I mean, who am I to tell him, Joe, that he shouldn't go and do it? I mean, that's the way the rules have been laid out now. I mean, there's things that he's going to miss out. I mean, listen, I mean, playing your senior year of high school football. How about just going to high school in your senior year?
That doesn't matter anymore.
I guess that stuff doesn't, because now the dollar's in front of you, and that's just it. I mean, there's things that I guess these kids are going to grow up faster and faster, Joe, but this has been going on for a while, right? I should expect this.
I want to bring up this aspect. We always talk that money drives the bus, right?
Yeah.
When is it the team? When is it the team aspect of it? It's all about me, meaning the I aspect, right? We talk about a team sport where it takes 11 players on both sides to get that W, right? This is not an individual sport. This is not tennis. This is not golf. This is not, you know, another sport, boxing or MMA, right? This is a team sport. When does the team matter? I mean, by these kids jumping from high school to college to get the money, it's all about them. Where is the team aspect of this? When does the coach matter? When does your teammates matter? Or is it just, you know what, I'm going to get mine and that's all that matters? I mean, in the end, this is not going to be beneficial for college football in any capacity.
You're right. It's not going to be beneficial to college football. What about these high school kids, Joe? I just don't think it's going to be beneficial to them either. I don't know. Maybe, listen, when they put the contract in front of you and you're going to make X amount of dollars, I guess you can give up something that you're not going to get back, which is going to high school for your senior year and having those moments. You know, who knows, Joe? Maybe I'm just thinking too old school. Maybe we're too old guys.
Maybe that's what it is. That's probably old guys.
College football full circle right here. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. Couple other headlines, Joe, then we'll start getting into the ACC win totals. A lot to do. College football full circle gets rolling right after the...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. And just one more thing on this Quinn Ewers stuff, Joe, which we just talked about to open up the show. This also, like, is kind of, this is another new thing that these kids are going to be able to do. Like, a way to kind of skirt around the rules of when they can enter the NFL draft.
Right.
Because that's going to be another domino that falls because of this. Because now he's going to spend, because it's 2 years of college. It's not a particular age to enter the NFL draft. It's usually, Joe, 2 years of being at a school. So he can now, and he's probably not going to play this year. You would think Ohio State will redshirt him or something. They have, of course, Stroud and everything else going on. So they have four technically freshman quarterbacks at Columbus, but let's say he doesn't play. But it's still a year closer, Joe, that he can get into the NFL now, which is
right. It's a way because of the one and done in college basketball. We don't have that in college football, right?
Right.
So now it's a way to get there sooner. But in the end, we're talking about a year closer in terms of the NFL. Is it better? Not necessarily, but however. This is the precedent that they're setting right now. We're going to see a multitude of kids leave that are on the fringe, right? We see it in terms of, look at the kids that don't play in bowl games because they think they're draft picks in the NFL and never make it. Look at, you know, the one player that comes to mind in recent years, Shaq Linwood from Baylor. He didn't play in the bowl game because he thought he was going to be a draft pick and, you know, can't cut it in the NFL. So these kids are getting advice. Where are they getting advice, especially at the high school level? Are they relying on recruiters? Are they relying on really good information? Now, this is the top quarterback in his class, so we understand that. But a kid that's maybe number 150 is going to do the same thing, right? And then all of a sudden, what happens to that kid? That's really what we have to monitor in 4 or 5 years, is not the top five guys, right? They're going to be there. We understand. Where's that player 150 that says, you know what, screw high school, I'm going straight to college. He gets hurt or he never pans out, and then all of a sudden, he doesn't have an education. And he can't make it because he took a decision that, you know, people wanted him to get his earlier instead of maturing as a young man. And that's the problem we're going to have in a few years, I'm telling you.
No, you're right, Joe. That's exactly where it's at. And good luck to the kid. He's going to make a lot of money, stay healthy, and do what you got to do. But you're missing your senior year of high school, that's for sure. All right, Joe, a couple other headlines for you. You sent me this one over the weekend, which I thought was pretty good. SEC will generate $1.3 billion annually after adding Texas and Oklahoma. Always about money. But those lists, you know, those letters that they all put out that say academics first.
Right.
This doesn't sound like academics to me. This sounds like $1.3 billion is now what the SEC is going to make.
How much does Sankey get out of that? I'm curious. Just a 0.0005% maybe, right? Where's Greg? Now he's out on his new yacht he just purchased. It's a 150-footer, you know? SEC, baby. I could see it. SEC strong on the back. He's got a fishing pole. He's fishing for sharks in a couple of years. I mean, that's what it's all about, Carver. We knew this from the beginning. But to hear the number, $1.3 billion, just by adding two teams, what happens if we add Clemson and Florida State and Miami? What happens then?
Right. No, you're right. It's amazing the amount of money that gets thrown around in these situations. And one more for you, just a little more fallout from that stuff over the weekend, is the, remember on Oklahoma, when they had their big press conference Friday, they said, well, we want to keep playing Oklahoma State forever. Oklahoma State said, not so fast, my friend. They're not going to commit to playing Oklahoma. They're going to wait and see what shakes out with them, which is the right thing to do, Joe. I mean, screw them. They left. They went to go get their gig, and now we have to be concentrated on ourselves and what's going to get us the biggest slice of the pie. So I can't be worried about if I'm going to get to still play the Bedlam game every year. I need to get the cash in my pocket if you're the Cowboys of Oklahoma State.
Can you see Mike Gundy now? He chopped off his mullet in the offseason, right? He's got the sunglasses on. I'm a man. How dare Lincoln do that to us? I'm a man. I'm 50 years old. What happened?
There you go.
How come we're not playing Bedlam? Give us Baylor every week, man. Can you see that?
Mike is Mike's entertaining on the podium.
He's taking pay cuts too. Mike would be happy. He's basically 2-14 against Oklahoma. I think since he took the job in Norman, he's lost six straight against the Sooners by 18.3 points per game. He might have a smile on from ear to ear that he doesn't have to play the Sooners every year.
He's gonna have a smile on his face because he could probably win whatever's gonna be, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, this revamped Big 12 / American Conference. Whenever that comes to fruition, Gundy's probably going to be like one of the two favorites every year to win that thing. So, although we'll see what happens with recruiting in the next few years, right, Joe? Because that's another thing. We talked a lot about recruiting with Texas and Oklahoma. The recruiting for those other eight teams, now that they're not going to be playing Texas and Oklahoma every year, that is a difference as well. So we'll see if Gundy can keep getting some quality athletes there at Stillwater.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? The recruiting aspect. That's why the American Athletic is fully invested in trying to get those Big 12 teams, because from the logistical standpoint, right, you want to have those interstate rivalries. It's more revenue for the American Athletic Conference. When you have a team like East Carolina, and we know Cincinnati's dominant, right, we understand that. But to get those Houston, Texas Tech games, Houston and Baylor, that matters. That matters for the conference. You're going to get a lot of people that will watch that game, not just in terms of college football fans, but you'll get the interstate rivalries that were renewed. So you might lose Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, but if you take on Houston and Texas Tech every year, you take on Houston and Baylor, now you have a way of, you know, the money's starting to come in again.
All right, Joe, we're going to get to, this is going to be the beginning of us talking win totals here. We've hit August. We need to start lining up all these teams, figuring out what we like the best in terms of win totals, what looks the best, where is there maybe some numbers that are off. And we're going to start that journey today, Joe, with the ACC. So this week we'll do the ACC. Next week we'll probably jump into either the Big Ten or the SEC, and we'll do every big conference and all the win totals for every team in them from now, Joe, until kickoff at the end of this month. I know that that excites you, Joe. I know you're pumped.
It does.
See it going with
I
the
love
win totals.
This. We get to break down these teams in a different way, from a unique perspective. We're going to break down not just the players and the stats, but the schedule, right? In order for these teams to hit these numbers or not hit these numbers, the schedule is a huge part of that. We're going to dissect each schedule to see where they're realistically have an opportunity to win or where they could just be flat-out losses. And then obviously we'll come up with the best bets and take it from there. We'll monitor it throughout the season.
So today we're going to get going ACC with Clemson, Virginia Tech, and Boston College. Those are the first three teams that we are going to kick it off with today to start, Joe. Now, we're getting close to the break, so we'll really dive in when we come back. But we're going to start with Clemson. And I'll just give you some early thoughts. We'll break the schedule down after the break. I checked a bunch of different books, Joe, to try to see if everybody was kind of consistent with the Clemson number. And it is. It's 11.5 across the board, everywhere I was looking. I mean, FanDuel has them at 11.5. The prices are a little different, though. So FanDuel has you over 11.5 at plus 125. DK's got them over 11.5 at plus 100. WynnBET has them over 11.5 at plus 120. So FanDuel right now giving you the best price for the over if you think Clemson's going to go 12-0 this year at plus 125 to 11.5. That's nice.
It is a nice number, and you just have to break it down in the sense of we talked about it, right? They've lost five conference games, Carver, since 2014 straight up. So it's not going to be easy. They're most likely going to have another clean ride. We'll get into it on the other segment, but things are looking up for DJU and the crew.
No, they are. So we'll take a look at this schedule, see if we think we can get him to 12-0 and try to hit a little bit of plus money. College football full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi right here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We start doing ACC win totals right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We're into ACC win totals. We are starting that today. And the first team, of course, is the favorite in the conference, Joe. I mean, you got to start with the Clemson Tigers. We told you before the break, 11.5, pretty much the consensus number at all houses. We saw probably the best number for the over being plus 125 at FanDuel. And you're laying pretty good juice for the under, Joe. I mean, there's a couple minus 130s. There's a minus 145. There's a couple of big numbers here. Where are you sitting with Clemson? Like, this is tough, asking a team to go 12-0, even if it's one of the big three or four that we talk about, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, et cetera, especially when you have a tough game right out of the gate against Georgia. You know, they're playing that game against Georgia in North Carolina, and that's kind of where you're – over under 11.5 is going to swing on that first game of the season, Joe.
Right. Great point, Carver, in terms of that. I'm a backer in the sense there's no doubt they're clearly head and shoulders above every team in terms of the ACC. But I always look at, is perfection attainable? You know, is there a weakness from maybe the teams that we've seen in recent years under Dabo Sweeney to what we have this year with DJU? And so that's where, when I break out my preview, I look for statistical strengths and weaknesses. Now, we talked about it in terms of the difference last year between the Clemson offense, from 2020 and where they were in 2018 and 2019, respectively. The biggest change came on the offensive line. They did not pound the rock consistently. They averaged in 2018 and 2019 240 rushing yards per game. That's why Travis Etienne was basically over 7 yards per carry. Last year, he struggled. That offense struggle became more one-dimensional. They only averaged around 154 rushing yards per game. So they became more one-dimensional, put in longer down situations, and ultimately that put a lot of pressure on the offensive line. And unless they change that, I'm not backing into this team being a perfect 12-0. So to answer your question, I would lean to this team being maybe 11-1, which would lean to the under for 2021.
Yeah, you lean to the under here, Joe. I think it's hard in general to try to bet a team to go 12-1. It's just very hard.
It's impossible. Outside of Alabama.
And listen, of course these three, they can do it. We know that they can go 12-0. But even Bama and Clemson, they've gotten picked off here and there in the last couple of years.
Sure.
With the one game. They still make the Final Four. They still make the national title game. I think this is very tough to do. I don't think I could play this over. Not that there's any game after Georgia that I think they could necessarily lose. I mean, tough road games, Joe. I mean, they don't have many. I mean, they go to NC State, they go to Pitt, and they go to Louisville. I mean, could they lose one of those games, Joe? Maybe.
Here's the thing.
They'd have to have a real bad day to lose one of those games.
Exactly, and it happens. I mean, they have shown a propensity to lighten up on the road. Look at a couple of years ago when Sam Howell was in Chapel Hill. They pushed him to the limit. They stopped him on a two-point conversion, won that matchup 21-20 en route to the national championship game. So it can happen. Now, the other statistic that I brought up is since 2015, this team is 40-1 straight up in Death Valley. So if you're going to catch the Clemson Tigers, you best do it on the road in your place, right? So when you look at the schedule outside that Georgia game, which is not going to be easy with JT Daniels, that NC State game, maybe with Devin Leary, they solid team last year, 8-4. But when you break them down deeper, those 8 wins came against opponents with basically a 414 winning percentage. Their running game is good. It's not elite. Person and Bam Knight are good. That offensive line's a concern for me. So I don't know if they get touched off with Dave Doran and the crew. The other game, Pittsburgh, they did it with Nate Peterman. They're not doing it with Kenny Pickett. But how about Louisville? I mean, just because we talk about quarterbacks, and I understand that Louisville was down last year, 4-7, but you look at a couple games that they were in, right? They were in that Miami game. Defense gave way. They played toe-to-toe with Notre Dame, right? They lost that matchup 12-7. Malik Cunningham is a dual-threat electric quarterback. They might be able to move the football on Clemson. And then you have the rivalry game with Shane Beamer and the South Carolina Gamecocks to end the year.
No, you're right. I could not play these over. I would play only the under for Clemson. I don't think there's any value whatsoever, Joe, in trying to get them to 12-0. I just think it's too risky of a bet for me to make, especially when you're playing another top five team in week number one. The juice just isn't there to squeeze for me when it comes to the Clemson Tigers. So I think me and you, Joe, are both in a similar situation right there with Clemson. Let's go to another team in the ACC right now, Boston College. The Eagles, of course. And they have a win total pretty much everywhere also, same number. I've got 7 at FanDuel, Joe, with the over to -130, the under to +110. At DraftKings, you've got them at 7 as well. Same numbers, really. Over -130, under +110. I'll even give you one more. I'll give you win, and they're giving you the same. If you like the under at the win, Joe, you're getting +120. So you get a little bit more money, but they're the same for the over, -130. So everybody kind of in the same boat right now when it comes to the Boston College Eagles. What do you think of them and their schedule, and can you find me 7 or 8 wins?
I can possibly find you 7. When I broke down their schedule, I had them right at that number. Now, 6-5 last year with Jakovic, the Notre Dame transfer, those 6 wins, opponents had a combined overall winning percentage of 281. The only team they beat with a win record was the Pitt Panthers at home in Chestnut Hill, 31-30. But they start with Colgate, UMass, and Temple. Are you kidding me, Mike Blewett? To start the year, there's 3 wins right there. So can we find another 5? its potential. I have them right on the number. I would lean to the over because of those first three games, though, Carver.
You know what, Joe? If you're getting them right to the number, and you think that seven's a fair number, and you're so seven's going to push you. You know, whether you're betting this over or under, you're going to push on the seven. I think just looking at the schedule, I'd lean to taking my shot at the under if I wanted to go against BC here. I just would. Like, you're right. They're going to be 3-0 out of the gate. They're getting those three wins. I know that two of them are on the road, but still, they're beating UMass and Temple. They can't lose those games. And then, honestly, after that, look, Clemson at, going to Clemson, that's not going to be easy for them. They got to go to Louisville. Now, going to Syracuse, Syracuse is awful. So they should beat Syracuse. Syracuse is 4. And do you want to give them Wake Forest at home as 5?
I don't know if I give them Wake Forest. Forest has 17 starters coming back.
All right, how about this then? How about Florida State at home?
Yeah, I think they can match up. I'm not buying into Mike Norvell.
Okay,
I don't
so
care
that's
who's
5.
The quarterback.
If you give them Syracuse and on the road and Florida State at home after that easy 3-0, that's just 5, Joe. And they've got to get you 2 for a push and 3 for a win out of Missouri, Clemson, NC State, Louisville, Vatech, Georgia Tech, and Wake Forest.
They could beat Georgia Tech. They could certainly beat Vatech. I mean, because of Justin Fuente is an absolute horrible coach. So those are 2 more. We're right at 6. They could steal one. I mean, obviously, one or two games could go either way.
The number's
they have
right.
Playmakers. They have
the number's
playmakers.
Right. The number's yeah. perfect. It's a perfect
right
number.
There.
Them going 7-5 because of that nice soft landing at the beginning of the year, starting 3-0. The number's about right at 7-5. The question is, do you think that there's a loss somewhere maybe they don't get, or a win somewhere maybe that we think is going to be a loss? That's the swinging gate on this number of 7 with the Boston College Eagles right now. I lean to the under, Joe. You sound like you lean to the over. I lean to the under.
I lean right at the number. I don't love this bet. It's just I'm counting them 3-0. I'm giving them Cuse. I'm giving them the victory over Vatech, and I'm giving them potentially because they have the more experienced quarterback over Jeff Sims and Georgia Tech. But Georgia Tech's an up and coming team. You know, I think they're going to sail through their total when we break it down later in the week. So there's no easy games. I would be right at the number. This would be a no bet for me.
I wouldn't play this either. I wouldn't play this either, Joe. I think that so far, you know, I would play the Clemson under. I wouldn't play.
Yes, I like the Clemson under.
I wouldn't play BC either to the over or the under. I think that there's too much. They're too much of a middle-of-the-road team with an absolutely perfect middle-of-the-road number at every house. That I just don't see an advantage to where you'd want to lean to the 8 or lean to the 6 that they could get there. So I'm with you, Joe. This is a no play for me on BC, but they've got some interesting games, that's for sure, and there'll be some swing games too. We're going to talk about Virginia Tech after the break because I know how much you want to get into Fuentes. You love him. He's one of your favorites, Justin Fuentes of Virginia Tech. So that'll be the other team that we do. I'm just trying to find BC. Yeah, I can't find the edge, Joe. What do you
now? If that, they lose
that
one
BC,
of those games, Carver,
that BC
Missouri they're a dead
game. They're a yeah. Oh no. They're not going to lose one of those games, Joe. Seriously, where are they losing one of those games?
Well, Temple with DeJuan Mathis, the former Georgia quarterback, right? He started last year against Arkansas, and Sam Pittman gave way to Stetson Bennett. He transfers Rod Carey and Temple. He's a dual threat. Speed has never been the Boston College forte there. You have an athletic quarterback that could break contain. There's the potential for Temple. And Temple will be into that matchup because those kids, it's basically, you know, in-state game.
That's an old Big East game for you, Joe. Remember, that's an old Big East game, BC and Temple. You used to love those. Temple, man, they used to really get run over in the Big East. They used to get run over year in, year out in that conference, Joe. Now they're in the MAC.
Yeah, I know, but that's why Ron Carey's got to turn it around. You know, they lose Anthony Russo to Michigan State. Identity's been lost since Matt Rhule moved on.
All right, we'll come back. We're going to go through Virginia.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Text schedule, see what their number is right here. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We keep rolling right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. As we have started to dive into win totals for all the conferences, we are doing the ACC this week. We already hit up Clemson and Boston College. And finally for today, Joe, we'll do Virginia Tech. Tomorrow we'll do three more teams, and throughout the week we'll continue through the ACC. I know you love Vatek. You love Coach Fuentes, and love the job that the job that he's done so far in Blacksburg has just been very high to your standards. And this is the first line that we're going to look at, Joe, where we actually have a couple different numbers at a couple of the other houses here. I've seen some sevens. I've seen some 7.5s for the Vatek Hokie. And as you know, Joe, that makes all the difference in the world. When you have that hook and you're trying to bet a regular season win total, whether it's college or the NFL, having a half is a big, big difference when it gets down to the end of the season. So FanDuel does have 7.5 over plus 125, under minus 145. I saw DK with the same thing, over 7.5 plus 120, under 7.5 minus 140. WinBet's got actually 7, Joe. They have Virginia Tech at 7. They don't have the half. And if you wanted to go over the 7, plus 105. Yeah, under the 7, minus 115. So a little different there. And a couple other books have 7 as well instead of 7.5. So this is the first one where we have a little bit of a difference, Joe. What do you think of this schedule for Vatek? And can we get to 8, which would be the number for these 7.5s? They open at that Friday night game against North Carolina at home. Big conference game. They're out of conference games. Middle Tennessee at home. They're at West Virginia. They are home for Richmond. They play Notre Dame at home this year. They do not play Clemson in conference play. They go to Boston College, which we just mentioned. They go to Miami. They go to Virginia. Yeah. Oh, geez. I mean, look at this, Joe. Did you see this about Virginia Tech's schedule? Four of their last five games. So they're home to Syracuse on October 23rd. Right. Starting Saturday, October 30th, they play four of their last five games on the road at Georgia Tech, at Boston College, home for Duke, at Miami, at Virginia. Right. Man, Joe, that is a tough way to finish the year.
It's difficult, and that's why this is one of my better bets. I'm under Virginia Tech for 2021, under the 7.5. Thank you, FanDuel, for giving us that extra hook, because I think there's no way they get there. Now, when we talk about Justin Fuente, he's taken this team, since he took them to the ACC championship game his first year, where they lost by 7 points as a 9-point dog to Clemson, they've gone the other way. Since 2017, Carver, straight up, Virginia Tech is 1-10 against AP-ranked competition. And, you know, when you think about the talent that they had last year, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and last year they had 8 starters coming back. That defense was atrocious. Now, I understand they had COVID issues. I got that. But that aside, Justin Hamilton in his first year taking over for Bud Foster did not coach that talent up. Chamari Connor is one of their best players on defense. But that aside, they lose Khalil Herbert, their big play running back. They lose Darashaw, their big play tackle. This team was built on running the football. And Braxton Burmeister is not a good quarterback. He's a mediocre quarterback. Let's call him what he is, okay? Hendon Hooker at least gave you the dual threat option. Okay, that's a huge concern for Virginia Tech. And when you just go through their schedule, think about it. They play Sam Howell week one. Even though Howell loses his top four receivers, they lost this game by 11 points last year. I covered it in game. They were a 3.5-4 point dog. They were down 21-0 in the first quarter. They battled back. They still lost 56-45. Are you kidding me? They don't have the quarterback advantage. You can go down. Jeff Sims at Georgia Tech, sophomore, he has more upside than Braxton Burmeister. Djokovic, De'Ari King, and Brennan Armstrong at the end of the year? This team is under, way under, this coming season. Yeah. That's one of my best bets.
Joe, honestly, I'm looking at this here. Like, you got to play this under. You just do.
Yeah, you have to slam it.
Think about it from this perspective. All right, let's give them 3-0 against Middle Tennessee, Richmond, and Syracuse at home. Let's give them those three. Okay, Joe, so they've got those three games. That means that there's nine more games on their schedule. And for them, for you to win you this bet, you need to get to 8. So of the 9 games left, you would need them to go, 5-4. You need them to go 5-4. And they've got road games, 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 road games, 5 road games, I'm sorry. West Virginia, Georgia Tech, Boston College, Miami, Virginia. 5 road games and their home games, Joe, 2 of them are North Carolina and Notre Dame. 2 teams that I don't think they're going to beat. They're not getting to 8, Joe. They're just not. You got to find a book where you get in the 7.5 and protect it, and you play that under. This is an under. I don't care if it's -145 or -130, whatever you want to lay. I just can't see how this team gets to 8 wins, Joe.
Exactly, and that West Virginia game is not going to be easy. Neil Brown is a better coach than Justin Fuente. Jared Daigie is a better quarterback than Braxton Burmeister. West Virginia, to me, is going to be one of the most surprising teams in the Big 12. They have a total of 6.5. I think they can get to 8 wins this year. So the only game I give them is Syracuse, because Pat Narduzzi and Kenny Pickett are still, even though they beat them up a couple of years ago in Bud Foster's last game as coach, they still don't match up apples to apples with Pittsburgh. And, you know, that's going to be a very difficult game. So what are we giving them? We're giving them 4 wins. You want to give them Georgia Tech? There's 5. There's 6 with Duke. Even if you give them Virginia, the rivalry game, they're only at 7. You're way under. They have to struggle to get to 8 wins. There's no way, in my opinion, this team is even. They might be under 500 this year.
They've got four losses right out of the gate, Joe. I mean, honestly, I just don't think that they're beating Carolina, Notre Dame, on the road West Virginia, or on the road Miami. I just don't see them winning any of those 4 games. That's just, and that means that they would have to go what? If they lose those 4 games, they'd have to go 8-0, right? They'd have to go 8-0 to get you this total. To get you over 7.5, they'd have to go 8-0 in those other games.
Are we keeping in mind they lost to Liberty last year?
I was just going to say this to you. Are we underselling Virginia Tech? I don't think they're going to be that good. I know that you're a little more strong on it. I don't think they're going to be that good. Are we getting a little down on them because it seemed like they were one of the teams last year that was hit harder than most with the COVID issues? I feel like every week VodTech had multiple guys out. It seemed like it really hit them harder than other teams.
True, but think about this for a second. Has Justin Fuente been able to develop the quarterback position since he's been there? Evans, remember Gerard Evans that was there that took him to the ACC championship game? Hendon Hooker now leaves. Braxton Burmeister. I mean, Braxton Burmeister played in that North Carolina game. He did not play well. Braxton Burmeister is more of a traditional dropback passer. They want to run him, but he's not a mobile guy. So now you take that component out of the offense. We're going to rely on Raheem Blackshear. He's the former Rutgers transfer. I like his game. He's a third down type of back, has some bounce in his step. But where is that defense? That defense, Carver, that was the real foundation of that team. They gave up 181 rushing yards to opposing offenses. You cannot give up close to 200 yards a game in the ACC and expect to win games, especially on the road. And when you look at this breakdown, North Carolina, I don't know if they're going to be a 10-2 team, but they certainly have the quarterback advantage in this matchup. Sam Howell is a more complete quarterback than where Burmeister is. Even Jared Daigie. So if we just talk about the quarterbacks and that breakdown, they're at a significant disadvantage outside maybe four games. We'll give them the edge in four games. We'll give them the edge over Tommy DeVito and Syracuse.
Yeah, that's a dead under, Joe. It's a dead under. It's a number. I feel like it's a similar number to Boston College, and we struggled to go one way or the other with Boston College. I feel like it's more definitive because of the games on their schedule. Boston College doesn't have these games. They don't have North Carolina, you know, and Notre Dame, and that might, like, it just feels like Virginia Tech, for the same number in the same conference, has just such a harder road to go to get to the same number that BC has. Exactly. So I know, like, I know we're kind of comparing those two because we had those two today, but it just feels so much easier to get under with VaTech than it does with Boston College.
You're right. Because of those three early games for Boston College, they can build momentum. There's no easy game outside. And Middle Tennessee State is not a gimme either. Middle Tennessee is not an easy game. From an offensive scheme perspective, they're going to challenge that Virginia Tech defense. And where is the pressure on this team? Think about that. You take over for Frank Beamer. You haven't led this team anywhere close to this type of success that he gave you in Blacksburg. So you don't think the fan base is going to be all over Justin Fuente the minute they go on a two- or three-game losing streak?
You're right, Joe. No, I don't disagree with you. He has not done a good job there, and this is a year where if he has a like a 4-8, 5-7 type of year, which is what me and you are basically predicting right now, he's going to be in a lot of trouble because they're used to a lot of winning down there. A lot of winning when Beamer was the coach. And that's think a couple about years this. Of no winning.
Yeah, and think about this. You know, I talked about Middle Tennessee State. You want to talk about the quarterback? Bailey Hockman's there. He's the former NC State quarterback that basically led NC State to the bowl game against Kentucky after Devin Leary went down. So he transferred out because Devin Leary was healthy this year. So he's another added component, and he's a battle-tested guy. Threw for over 300 yards against Miami. So think about that. You know, how much that's no gimme game that's sandwiched in between North Carolina and West Virginia. That might be an area, Carver, when we break down the spreads. That Middle Tennessee State game, they might be catching double digits from Virginia Tech. That might be an outright win somehow, some way, with a look ahead.
Wow, Joe wants to get in on the Raiders down there, the Blue Raiders, Middle Tennessee State. Look at Lisi, man, you are down on Virginia Tech.
I mean, just when you
are real down on VaTech.
I just don't like I don't like coaches. I don't like coaches that fail to have their teams prepared. I just it drives me nuts. It drives me nuts when you have a significant talent advantage and your teams do not come prepared. Yeah. It's a huge black mark on the coach. I'm sorry. It just is. It's a detriment in terms of the gambling perspective. If you have a team that's, let's say, an A-plus talent and you're playing a D-rated team, you better throttle that team by 50-plus. If you start playing down to the level of competition, that really shows what type of head coach you are to not have your teams prepared.
Man. Joe. Now listen, that's I'm with it. You. Listen, this is an under. So there you go. So we did Clemson, BC, and VaTech for day number one of the ACC. We both kind of like the under for Clemson if you're going to play it. It's really a no pass whatsoever for BC. We both don't like it either way, Joe. And for VaTech, we both feel the under is one of our favorite plays. And when we do, like, you know, I'm sure, you know, a couple of the days before kickoff, we'll do our five favorite overs, one over-unders. You're probably going to have the VaTech under right in the mix for the Joe Lisi's favorite of them all. College football full circle, Mike Carver and Joe Lisi right here, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. We will come back and wrap it up with the week one line of the day right here, college football full circle after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
All right, College Football Full Circle right here, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204, Carver and Lisi with you. All right, Joe, week one line of the day, and since we're kind of focused on the ACC this week and you love bashing Justin Fuentes, I figure, why don't we do the week one North Carolina Va-Tech game as our week one line of the day? And right now, your Hokies of Va-Tech at home for that Friday night game, getting 5.5 from Sam Howell and North Carolina. What do you think, Joe?
Well, they dominated. Like I said, North Carolina was a 3.5, 5-point favorite by game time in that matchup in Chapel Hill, and they just hit on all cylinders. They did not look prepared. Va-Tech made a run, but in the end, they lost by 11 points. The defense had no answers for that offense. So when I look at this game, even though it's a tough environment, even though Virginia Tech should be prepared from a defensive perspective, a lot more prepared, and Sam Howell loses his top four weapons, comes down to the quarterback. It might be a tough game, but I still think North Carolina can cover this 6.5-point number. So give me North Carolina early on. I will say this, lack of playmakers, right? Deami Brown's gone, Daz Newsome gone, Michael Carter, Javonte Williams, all gone. They put up basically over, I believe it was 100 points. It was 56-45. What is that, 101? It's going to be, I look to the under, though. I think in order for Virginia Tech to keep this game close, they can't go toe-to-toe with Sam Howell. So I like North Carolina and the under in this ballgame.
Wow, North Carolina, I'm with you. I'm going to lay the 5.5 with the Tar Heels in that week one game. When the total gets closer, I'm going to be interested in it to see where that's at. So I could go an over in that game, Joe. We'll see. I need to get the number first at my hands before I start declaring where I'm going to go with North Carolina and Virginia Tech. All right, Joe, tremendous stuff today. Tomorrow, Joe, we will continue going through a couple of ACC win totals. We're going to try to get to some look-ahead lines as well, Joe. I will see you tomorrow, my man.
You got it.
Joe Lisi right there, Mike Carver, College Football Full Circle. Thanks, as always, to Andrew Torres. We will see you tomorrow right here, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204.